You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are talking access to work experiences and the importance of access to work that it brings to people with disabilities. Joining us now is Alba, one of the ECLOs at RNIB. Alba, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about your job as an ECLO?
So as an ECLO, ECLO stands for Eye Care Liaison Officer, and what we do is provide emotional and practical support to patients. I am based at the hospital in Oldham in North Manchester, and patients come in when they need it, and I signpost them, refer them, advise them. That's what we do.
Moving on to your Access to Work award then, you know, what is part of your Access to Work to help you do your job as an ECLO?
So I have both transport and support work. I live very far from where I work, and the public transport would take me about triple the time that it takes me to get transport. So I get a taxi there and back. And I also have support. I work 21 hours and I get about 13 hours of support. My support worker is there for some of the time, and she does things that I can't do.
Now, one of the issues a lot of people are having is, you know, either their access to work is, you know, taking time to get approved, support is getting, you know, reduced or completely removed. My question to you is, regarding how essential your access to work support is, what would be the impact on your job if you didn't have your access to work?
I wouldn't be able to do the job. It wouldn't work out. I use my support worker to access systems that at the NHS are not accessible. I think the world is nowhere near ready to have people with disabilities employed without having extra support, because the systems that I access are not, I can't use these systems with JAWS. So if I want to check on a patient's demographics information, eye condition, I would have to be, checking with other people and putting pressure on other people in the hospital. So my support worker can do all that. There's also a lot of paperwork that we have to deal with at the NHS, it means writing letters, physically writing letters, printing, posting, and this is something that is not accessible for someone who with a visual impairment. I can do everything digitally, but not in paper. So I just don't think the world is ready to not have this support. I think I'm best qualified for this job, because not just because of the lived experience, but there's a lot of other aspects that make me very qualified for this job, and I have been doing it for years and I'm very comfortable in it. I'm very happy. It's a very rewarding job, and it was just I just wouldn't be able to do it without the access to work. It just wouldn't happen.
When it comes to access to work, have you had any challenges regarding access to work, you know, recently, whether it was getting it in the first place or, you know, any changes of circumstances sort of thing? What are some of the challenges that you faced with access to work?
They never make it easy for you to get the support. My experience has been that once I've had the support, it's been okay. Luckily, I've not been asked to renew yet or to do anything, that would put that support in danger. But to actually get the support wasn't easy. They make you feel like, you don't need it. They make you fight for it. And if you don't have the confidence or the right help to get the access, I imagine a lot of people that would be able to benefit from this support are not benefiting from it because they are giving up. So that's been my experience. You know, they ask for a lot of evidence, then it goes through a panel. They don't make it easy. But I have managed to secure it, and I'm very, very, very pleased with it.
What would be your message to any decision makers regarding the importance of access to work and more access to work in general?
I think it brings a whole wealth of, you know, knowledge and skills to the workforce that you wouldn't have if we didn't have us in work. It gives people the chance to work. And if people aren't working, they're going to be claiming other benefits. So it's going to be, you know, impacting on it, because they're always thinking about the you know, the financial impact, isn't it? So it's going to be impacting a lot more on their financial, if the people that can work and are happy to work and want to work, you know, can't, all of a sudden they're denied that chance. Also, it's going to impact in their mental health, because work is not only, it doesn't only benefit those, you know, the employers, it benefits the employees as well. It's something that we do and we enjoy. And I think if I wasn't working, I'd be tapping into mental health services and I'd be tapping into other benefits. So they should reinforce it, and they should, you know, they should promote it, because it's a great, great service when it works. It's part of the reasons why I'm in this country. You don't get this in Spain, for example. And in Spain, most of people with visual impairment are unemployed. And I don't want to, you know, I'm here because this country has allowed me to work and has allowed me to be who I want to be. And if this gets caught, then I don't know what I would do.
Alba Del Toro Nassal from RNIB, thank you very much for talking to us about your experience of access to work here on RNIB Connect Radio.
You're very welcome.
We have reached out to the Department of Work and Pensions for comment, and a DWP spokesperson has given us the following statement. Access to work supports thousands of sick or disabled people to start or stay in work, and support provided by the scheme has nearly doubled in 5 years. We are actively working to tackle the issues with the scheme we inherited, which we know are impacting both employers and employees, to ensure that disabled people have the support, skills and opportunities to move into good, secure jobs.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.